Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
I'll never forget the time I visited Boston for a public radio conference several years ago, and one of the people that I met called me out on my Wisconsin accent. Mind you, this was a guy from Boston who was amused with my Wisconsin accent, but I didn't take offense, not much anyway, because I know I have a Wisconsin accent, and it's awesome, and if you lived in Wisconsin for much of your life, you have an accent too. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, July 7th. I hope you had a great holiday weekend, and I hope you will join in as we talk about how we talk in Wisconsin this hour. Our guest is researching the Wisconsin accent, including the different dialects throughout the state. He's also looking for volunteers who live in Northwest Wisconsin to talk with him so he can study their dialect and compare it to how people who talk who live in Southeastern Wisconsin. Do you notice differences in how we speak in Wisconsin compared to other states? How about region to region in Wisconsin? Do we have different dialects in different parts of the state? 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your questions for our guest. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michael Fox. He is a graduate school researcher at North Carolina State University. He is a University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire alumnus who has spent the past 7 years or so researching multiple facets of the Wisconsin accent. He is currently collecting data from volunteer participants from Southeast and Northwest Wisconsin to do a comparative study. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you have been living in North Carolina for the past several years, but are back in Wisconsin for this part of your research?
Yes, I am, just for the summer.
All right. So who are you looking for exactly?
Well, I'm looking for, in terms of people?
So
I'm looking for people who were born or grew up after the age of 3 to the ages of like 15, you know, late teen years in Wisconsin, northwestern Wisconsin, around the towns of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Menominee, Chippewa Falls, or any of the smaller towns in that area, and people who have lived there but have maybe moved away or come back or haven't moved away at all but have spent the majority of their lives there.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do with these volunteer participants?
Oh, well, the research process involves, like, an interview. So this lasts about, like, an hour and a half where I meet up with these people and I have recording equipment. And we sit down in a, you know, public library or any other place that, you know, is relatively quiet. And we basically talk about what it was like growing up in Wisconsin, what it was like, you know, how things have changed, stuff like that, what, like, Wisconsin, being from Wisconsin means to them, you know, cultural things, stuff like that, basically to get them to start talking about basically anything so that their speech flows naturally, and that we can use that, like, natural speech later in our analysis.
Mm-hmm. And you will or have already collected the speech of those who live in Southeast Wisconsin?
I have started collection in Appleton and Oshkosh, and I hope to move farther south along the eastern side. But I've had... Since I'm not from there and I don't really have very many contacts down there, it's been difficult for me to recruit people.
Oh, I'm from Appleton. I can help you.
Oh, there you go.
So would you be able to say, can you tell where someone's from in Wisconsin just by listening to them speak?
That depends on what part of Wisconsin they're from. I mean, if they're from, like, northern Wisconsin, or if they're from, you know, western Wisconsin versus southwestern Wisconsin as, like, a broad general area, potentially. It also depends on how long I can listen to them for. It's hard to carry on a conversation with somebody and just listen to how they're talking versus what they're saying without, you know, offending them. Yeah. But, yeah, sometimes. It depends. If, say, somebody's from Milwaukee, I can typically, you can typically hear that because they sound more like they're from the big city.
Oh, so tell us, you must have a theory that there is a different dialect in Southeast Wisconsin as compared to Northwest Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Well, the research on that shows that there is a couple of differences that that mark like a boundary between, I think it's just past Madison, just north of Madison up to Green Bay, where they, people, this is not everybody, but generally people will say words like with the ah vowel, more with like with the ah vowel. So cot, C-O-T, might sound more like cat, C-A-T. Not quite that pronounced of a change, but it's somewhere in between cot and cat. And then in addition to that, well, where we don't have that up in northwestern Wisconsin. In northwestern Wisconsin, we might say, well, for myself, example, I actually don't make a distinction between cot and caught. So up in northwestern Wisconsin, we have a merger of those two sounds. But in southeastern Wisconsin, we've got caught moving or becoming more similar to cat.
I understand. And I think I have that merger, too. So,
oh, interesting.
In terms of caught and cot.
Right.
It's not exactly the same, but it's, I certainly don't say cat for cot.
Right. Well, it's not quite like cat, but it's close to.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You don't have a Southern accent, even though you've lived in North Carolina for a while.
Yeah, luckily.
Yeah. So to tell us, we'll get a little bit more into some of the specifics of your research and what you've already learned and what the Wisconsin accent is exactly. But where did your interest in the Wisconsin accent begin?
Well, that takes me back. So as an undergraduate at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, I met a friend in a class that I had, and he introduced me to linguistics, and he was telling me about this project that he was working on with a professor, Dr. Erica Benson at Eau Claire. And the more he told me about it, the more I realized, oh, man, this is really interesting. And I didn't have a major, so I decided to look into that. So I declared a linguistics major, and then I took some classes. And then it was, I don't know, maybe a year after he had graduated himself, and I decided, oh, this is really cool. So I'm going to hop on this project and continue with it. So as I did that, I started working with Dr. Benson and taking more classes, and I finished my degree. And throughout that whole process, we were doing collaborative research. And at the end, we published an article. And by that time, I was in graduate school, and it had just kind of happened.
Yeah. And was that article what I found on the internet that is titled "The Bag That Scott Bought"?
Correct. Yep.
The low vowels in Northwest Wisconsin. Exactly what is a low vowel?
So the way that we measure vowels or accents, pronunciation has it's represented in a like an X by Y coordinate system. So like a can't think of a good analogy, but
but so, you said X by Y, so this sounds like algebra.
Yeah, a little bit. So you just think of like a just think of a flat representation, and there's different points on a grid, and in the low part of the bottom part of the grid is where these vowels are located, and that has to do with the tongue position. So the way we measure it correlates with the tongue position, either like low or front and back on two dimensions. So the low vowels are ah, as in bat, bought, and bot. the ones we were just talking about a few minutes ago. And in Wisconsin, there's different configurations of these vowels that distinguish the different regions. So, like I was saying a few minutes ago, ah, all kind of sound differently depending on where you're from.
So, is this unique to Wisconsin? Like, no, for instance, Minnesota or the UP, we all speak somewhat similarly, don't we?
Yeah. So a dialect is typically a matrix of features. So you've got those three, and then you've also got a handful or dozens of other characteristics of the accent that different regions will have to a different degree, and depending on where you're from, you might have like this and this other one, A, B, and C, but you might not have D, F, and G. Whereas another region might have G, F, and A, something like that.
We are talking about the Wisconsin accent with a guest who is researching the Wisconsin accent, and we welcome your questions for him, maybe some examples of how we speak in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Michael Fox, who is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, now living in North Carolina. He is a graduate school researcher at North Carolina State University, and he is studying linguistics, and he's studying right now, with the summer trip back to Wisconsin, multiple facets of the Wisconsin accent. He is currently collecting data from volunteer participants, especially from Northwest Wisconsin, to do a comparative study on the accent that people who live in Northwest Wisconsin have to those who live in Southeast Wisconsin. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Brad on Facebook says that the Wisconsin accent is like Minnesota, but he says it's more Germanic and more gruff and less corny. More prevalent in rural areas, up north, blue-collar workers, and barflies. He thinks that it's fading with time. Well, react to that, Michael.
I'm just going to react to this, the last part first. Accents are constantly changing. So the younger generation is always adapting to some new or incoming or just, innovating changes in the way we speak. So accents are constantly fading, quote-unquote fading with time, because it's not static. The differences between Minnesota and Wisconsin, there's not too many that's correct. It depends on, if you're from northwestern Wisconsin, like my accent is heavily influenced by the accents that cross the state borders. There's language change or language diffusion doesn't really pay attention to state borders. And in terms of social categories, so the working class and in rural areas is actually a question that I'm really interested in myself and don't have very much data from rural areas. But typically, those people in rural areas and the working class tend to have more local vernacular dialects that are more characteristic of that area and tend to be the basis of any kind of stereotype or public consciousness of that particular dialect. So his characterization seems to be pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. He does, though, mention Germanic. What about German immigrants, or for that matter, any ethnic group that immigrated to Wisconsin? Where does the Wisconsin accent come from?
Well, That is an also interesting question. Accent development has to a large degree dependent on the immigration patterns, and you know we're not just German in mm-hmm. Wisconsin, but we were heavily settled by Germans, and that did have a big influence. But we also have Norwegians and Irish and I don't know, lots of other ones. But so, for example, there has been some research on Germanic influence, especially in towns where people still spoke German up till recently, and still actually probably speak German in like southern parts of Wisconsin. So there's research showing that final consonant devoicing happens more often in towns like that. So I'll give you an example. So a word like cheese, where the Z at the end mm-hmm. of the word is the voiced sound, and the unvoiced counterpart of that is an S. So you might have a pronunciation of cheese as cheese.
Cheese.
Yep. Or beers, like the plural form of beer as beers, which is, you know, part of the, what was it? I think it was an SNL skit.
Right.
About Da Bears. So that's, I mean, people pick up on that. That's a thing that, or a feature that has come over from the German language, because they have German has a rule in its language where in certain contexts that happens. And that's a regular rule. So the immigrants brought that over with them, and it transferred into English and has since spread throughout the rest of Wisconsin.
That's where I'm going to wash my hairs comes from
yep.
then. Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I never said that, but I do remember people saying that. I washed my hairs. John in Richland Center is with us. Hi, John.
Good morning. I lived in Wisconsin all my life. I'm a second immigration German.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, I don't know if you've heard this before, but these does and dads.
Mm-hmm.
We exchange the T for the D.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dis and dad. Where does that come from, Michael?
That's a feature that's more, that's not just local to Wisconsin. That's something that happens in lots of rural and working class dialects across the nation. I hear that in the South. I hear that, you know, you hear it in, you know, big cities like Philadelphia and Boston. I personally think that in Wisconsin, it happens more in rural areas. That might be, that's how I hear it. There isn't any research that documents it, you know, who says those things in Wisconsin that I know of.
And I have a theory, just because my father is from Italy. He immigrated here from Italy, and Italians have a hard time pronouncing the TH sound. So this and that. I remember he used to say tree for three.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so that's just maybe one example of you know, some languages having a hard time with that TH sound.
Right. Well, they might not have. I'm not sure about what sounds Italian has, but it sounds to me like what's happening is that they have a T sound, but they don't have the S sound, so
right.
They approximate by using something that sounds close to it.
Let's go to Daniel in Minong. Hello, Daniel.
Hello. I visited a cousin and her husband in Redding, California, 7 years ago. I have long hair and a beard. Her husband laughed and said, "I look like a Californian, but I speak like a Wisconsinite." He pointed out my elongated vowels. Aren't our elongated, drawn-out vowels a central feature of our dialect?
Michael?
Okay, so some of them, he's probably picking up on our oohs and ohs, which is something that I get called out on, or,
mm-hmm.
well, people notice quite frequently when I'm not in Wisconsin. So we tend to have very long and monophthongal oohs, so boot and boat, versus, you know, actually, I don't even know if I can do it any other way. It's really hard for me. But then we also have our a vowel, depending on the context, will be more diphthongal and longer. So bad might sound like bad, and bag might sound like big, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
These things tend to be, I mean, they're pretty salient to people, so they pick up on it pretty quickly.
Robin emails, have you noticed that a lot of people in Wisconsin drop the L when they say Milwaukee? Is that common? Is that a part of the Wisconsin accent, or is that just native Milwaukeeans dropping their L?
That's an interesting question. I have not noticed that myself, but now that I think about it, I don't say the L in Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, I say Milwaukee, but not Milwaukee. I've never heard anybody say Milwaukee. One thing about English is that the spelling doesn't necessarily always correspond to how things are pronounced. So that could be that it was a change that happened a while ago. So before, you know, before when the spelling initially became finalized.
Let me jump in because we have news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio coming up next, and then we'll continue talking about Wisconsin accents. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest researcher about his ongoing study on the origins and intricacies of the Wisconsin accent. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Michael Fox, a graduate school researcher at North Carolina State University. He's a University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire alumnus who has spent the last 7 years researching multiple facets of the Wisconsin accent. He is currently back in Wisconsin collecting data from volunteer participants from Northwest and Southeast Wisconsin to do a comparative study on the two accents. So what questions do you have about the Wisconsin accent? Do you think that the Wisconsin accent is different depending on where you live in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And before we go any further, Michael, I should ask you, if people are interested in volunteering to be a part of your research, what should they do? Oops, I don't know why we can't. Oh, now we can hear you. Wrong button. Go ahead.
Okay, well, they can email me at mjfox3@ncsu.edu, and we can set up a time and a place to meet and do an interview if they want to. I won't be in Wisconsin for much longer. I'm leaving on the 17th, unfortunately. So if, you know, before that, if they're free, then send me an email.
And you're primarily looking this trip for people who live in or around Eau Claire or that region.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, you had mentioned before news that accents can and do change over time. What are the elements that influence our accent and the changes in our accent?
Well, the changes in our accent, you know, they have to do with migration patterns, also contact between different communities. So one of the big influences in Eau Claire is contact via I-94 with, you know, the Twin Cities and Madison, because people, you know, travel along there all the time. People commute. Some people, there's a lot, since we have reciprocity in tuition reciprocity in the university system, we have a lot of Minnesota students coming here and living through the majority of the year. They come in contact with people, and this transfers some features of language to other communities. And that's how things change geographically over time, but also once they come here, then it takes generations for the next for it to fully be adopted by a particular community. So the merger of the aw and ah sounds that I was talking about earlier is just now coming here. I have it. People my age have it. People younger probably will have it, but a majority of the people that are older than me probably won't have it.
Hmm.
Another influence would be, you know, social categories. So certain groups, women tend to adopt innovative features faster than men. So a lot of the things that come in from the outside tend to get adopted by women faster than men.
That's interesting. If, for instance, you have been living in North Carolina, you have not developed a full-fledged Southern accent, but does that, living in a different community, change your accent?
My accent, I don't think it's changed too much, but this is because I'm very proud of my accent. You know, accent has a lot to do with identity. So if somebody is really, I don't know, really proud of it, they tend to not change their accent, especially in later life. For example, it's when I moved down there, I haven't really changed much, but also the region is not necessarily big urban areas in the South aren't as Southern as you might think. They tend to have a more regional dialect, something that's more like the North, because big urban centers in the South had a lot of people immigrate from the North in the 60s to live down there for tech industries, brought them down there. And since then, their children have kind of diffused a Northern, not Southern dialect in rural or in urban areas in the South. And that's how language change happens a lot. But on a personal level, it's very, a particular person's dialect doesn't change too much throughout their lifetime, except in early years. So if you move a lot when you're young, you might have some features from all the different places that you might have lived.
Well,
but now that I'm, you know, an adult, it doesn't change too much.
Let's take some more calls. Victor in West Dallas is with us. Hello, Victor.
Hi. I've an interesting subject. You know, I was on your interviewer, is that I'm German descent. I was growing up in kind of like a half German, half English. But I was stationed in Mayport, Florida, which is next to Jacksonville, for 3 years on a destroyer. And when I came back after 3 years, a lot of people were wondering if I came from the South.
Hmm. Well, how old were you when you were down there?
I was 18, you know.
Okay. That's interesting because I don't hear any Southern features in your voice now. You sound like you're from Wisconsin.
Right.
People do adapt a little bit, but it doesn't tend to be permanent. When I'm back here, I sound more Wisconsin than I do when I'm in North Carolina. You can change you can manipulate. People manipulate the way that they talk, obviously, but it doesn't tend to stick.
Yeah, and I'm thinking you might throw in a y'all every once in a while there,
right,
but not here.
right. I mean, it doesn't sound authentic here.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't sound authentic there either if you're not from there.
And you're not studying the words we use in Wisconsin so much as the dialect, the sound of the words.
Right, correct. I'm studying more, you know, how we say the words rather than what words we say.
Yeah, not like why we say bubbler and that kind of thing.
Yeah, some people have studied that. I mean, right. that's a big part of Wisconsin, too. Well, eastern Wisconsin.
Yeah. Let's go to Brian in Chippewa Falls now. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, hi, guys. A couple comments. I originally grew up in a small town about 40 miles south of Eau Claire, but I spent a lot of my time around this area. And when I was working in Las Cruces, New Mexico, back in 95, and I told people where I was from down there, they always said, oh, well, you're from Wisconsin, huh? I always thought that was kind of humorous. And also, it's not only southeastern Wisconsin where they say Milwaukee, they drop the L, they do that up here. But I was wondering, from some of your comments, I was wondering if part of the accent doesn't come from all the Poles, Czechs, Germans, and Irish that settled in the state. And when they were learning English, how their native language kind of changed the pronunciation of some of the words.
You're absolutely right. Some of the influence did come from that. So the oohs and ohs, the long, elongated monophthongal oohs and ohs that we have, are thought to come from those languages. And among other features, I don't believe that there's any documented other features that come from, or that we know that come from there. But those are the big ones. Those are the, you know, that's really the Wisconsin, the thing that people pick up on is the oohs and ohs really fast.
Oh, I was just going to ask Brian from Chippewa Falls to sign up for your study, because Chippewa Falls is the area that you'd like
perfect.
To... Well, if you're still listening, sign up for the study. What about that nasal sound or the Wisconsin?
So that's something that people think is coming in to the, well, certain parts of Wisconsin with... the vowel changes that we're getting. So there's not much research on it, mm-hmm. unfortunately. The nasal sound comes from, you know, just air flowing through the nasal passage, but it could have to do with the way that the tongue is positioned. It allows, you know, maybe a little bit of nasal airflow. In terms of why... I think the jury's still out on that one.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Karen in Milwaukee. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have relatives who live in the Marquezan, Westfield area. And a number of years ago, someone was at my house doing some work. And I said, "You're from Westfield, aren't you?" And he was shocked. And it's because they have a way of pronouncing their WHs and an inflection that is very distinctive. They'll be a very WH sound, and we would say what, they'd say what, and they have inflections too, and I didn't know if you were interested in looking at that part of the state.
I'm not exactly sure what part of the state that is.
It's about, I guess it would be about 100 miles north and west of Milwaukee.
It's like in between Madison and Stevens Point.
I would be interested in that part of the state. Unfortunately, I probably won't have time this summer, but in terms of the what versus what, that's a very distinctive feature. That's not necessarily a Wisconsin thing. You get that in small pockets throughout the U.S. It's kind of a relic feature, something that's hasn't quite changed to the norm. So the norm would be what, and that's, you know, what we get throughout the majority of the U.S., but there's small pockets around the U.S. that... would say what, and that's very distinctive because, you know, it's quite different from the norm. And it tends to be very localized, so you can pick up on it. If you're from, see, I didn't know that they had it in that particular area in Wisconsin, but you did because mm-hmm. you know, you're exposed to it. But now that I do, maybe if I hear it, I'll ask people, are you from this area? Something like that.
Yeah. So why is learning, why is researching the linguistic tendencies, the dialects of Wisconsin important?
Well, researching these things can give us insight into the culture of the area, how it's developed, you know, the lives of these people, because language is a tool, a social tool that we use every day. It is basically culture. It's how we transmit. It's how we interact with people, obviously. It's how we basically do almost conduct the majority of our everyday lives. And in order to understand social behavior, we need to understand what the meanings are behind why we speak a certain way. So me speaking, having a Wisconsin accent has a certain meaning in Wisconsin. It also has another meaning in a different part of the U.S., and these are all tied up with personal identity, regional identity, cultural identity, stuff like that, things that are very important to people and influence the way that they act.
Well, we have a listener who has a joke that he wants to share. I hope it's permissible on the radio. Hi, Marv.
Hello. I certainly hope this is permissible. I'd like to say very, very, very briefly that though I am from Brule, and the New York Times shows that our area is predominantly Minnesota Viking as far as fans are concerned. I claim the status of being a good, honest Green Bay fan. But the joke is this. It's from the south side of Chicago, where I lived for quite some time. A person goes onto a bus and inquires, "Does this bus go to the Loop?" The bus driver looks at the person and says, "No, this bus goes beep, beep."
Good one, Marv.
That's funny. I never heard that before.
So when can we expect your next paper on Wisconsin accents?
Well, I'm currently working on a couple of papers, hopefully in the next 6 to 7 months.
Well, maybe we can talk again then. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Michael Fox is a graduate school researcher at North Carolina State University. He is an alumnus of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and back in the Eau Claire area, collecting data from volunteer participants on his latest research, which compares the Northwest Wisconsin accent to the Southeast Wisconsin accent. And you can find out more about that study on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Justin Williams and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.